101. Kurt Mortensen here with our weekly Influence Persuasion Self-Mastery Call as we talk about the 12 Laws of Persuasion is what we're getting into. Happy Halloween. It is October 31st. Hopefully you get some good candy tonight or steal some candy. I guess not steal from your own bowl, I didn't mean. But today we're going to talk about the law of esteem and how praise and esteem releases energy. Mark Twain said it very well when he said, I can live 2 months on a good compliment. Now, it's very important to understand how one of the 12 laws of persuasion, the law of esteem, affects every aspect of what we do. Because when you bruise someone's ego, it closes the door to persuasion. Let me give you an example. I remember going to a mall, shopping with my wife. I didn't want to go into one store that she went to. I'm like, I'm going to go to a suit store. She says, you don't need a suit. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to look, see how persuasive they are. And I walked in, and this sharp young gentleman who's dressed very nice says, well, what are you looking for? I said, a suit, you know, probably blue. You know, that's the most persuasive color. He says, well, what size do you need? And I said, well, I'm not quite sure. So he measured my waist, and he measured my chest, and he measured my chest again. With a twinkle in his eye, he said, do you work out? I'm like, well, why, yes, I do. He says, well, I thought so. You're going to need an athletic cut. So I smiled, I felt that rush of esteem. I knew he was going to sell me a suit, and I bought one that day because it was on sale. But, you know, of course, there was other reasons. But that's a key thing you need to understand. We have a psychological need to be respected and accepted. And it's important to understand exactly how it works. In fact, William James said it very well when he said the deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. So you need to understand self-esteem and how that works, because when people have a high self-esteem, let me define self-esteem a little bit here. Self-esteem is how much you like yourself, and when you're comfortable with yourself, you know, you really don't care or worried what other people think of you. You can admit you're wrong. You're pleasant to be around. You know, high self-esteem is the elusive aspiration of a lot of people. You know, it's like confidence in yourself. And it's, you know, the people who are truly happy and comfortable with themselves are the ones who are able to live and achieve what they want. They're not worried what other people think. And this is important because when you look at the studies here, that self-esteem is more important than IQ with grades. In fact, other studies show that self-esteem impacts your income levels and how much you like yourself. Now, people tend to cover that up, but let's talk about some interesting things here. 2 out of 3 Americans will suffer from low self-esteem. Now, I would say we all suffer from low self-esteem from some aspect of our life, whether it's in a swimsuit or public speaking or doing something that you don't feel comfortable doing. But here's an interesting thing. 80% of third graders felt pretty good about themselves. By the time they got to fifth grade, it was 20%. By the time they get to 12th grade, it was 5%. We can blame the media. We can blame sitcoms. We can blame the educational system. We can blame a lot of little things. The only thing you need to really understand here is everybody you meet suffers from low self-esteem. And if you can boost that self-esteem and you make them feel better about themselves, it goes a long way. And as a great persuader, you have to check your ego in at the door. It's not about you. It's about them. Because when people and even managers, we see this all the time with upper-level managers, even CEOs, they cover up their low self-esteem because they're expected to know everything. They're expected to feel good about themselves, and they rarely get any type of praise. Because people with low self-esteem tend to gossip. Because when we can gossip, we can pull people down, and we feel better about ourselves. People with low self-esteem can't take criticism very well, and they even have a hard time to accept compliments. Hey, you look good in that dress. You know, this old thing, I found it in a cutter. Maybe not that extreme, but it's important to understand that we tend to cover it up. We can cover it up with possessions, with degrees. You know, I have a better degree, I went to a better college, I have a nicer car, I have a nicer home, I'm the boss. A lot of times that tends to cover up that low self-esteem. Because when people have a low self-esteem, it's all about the external things. When you have a high self-esteem, you have an internal security. It doesn't matter if someone has a nicer car or a nicer home. Low self-esteem is scarcity mentality, not enough to go around. You got to get yours. High self-esteem tends to be abundance mentality. Low, we compare ourselves to others. See, when you have low self-esteem, we always compare our weaknesses to other people's strength, and it makes us feel better. It always will. Our weaknesses will always be weaker to other people's strengths. Versus high self-esteem, we don't need to compare. We feel good about ourselves. Low self-esteem, we tear other people down. And high self-esteem, we lift others up. Low self-esteem is who is right. High self-esteem is what is right. The main thing to understand with the law of esteem, in one of the 12 laws of persuasion, if you want to review it, it's in the Magnetic Persuasion. Just got a question about that. It's in the Magnetic Persuasion series. Is you boost their ego, you make them feel better about themselves. Man, they are so much easier to persuade. They like you better. You connect better. That is a big thing, to understand exactly how that works. Now, the thing to understand here that's very simple that we don't do very well is praise. I don't know if you have a calculator available, but how much does it cost to praise? If you want to figure that out, or you can understand that it's a trick question, that it costs nothing. But we tend to not to praise because of our own low self-esteem. But when we can praise others, it boosts our self-esteem, it releases energy, it causes us to smile, and we are easier to persuade. Now, we have to talk about praise in the right formula, and I'll give you that there, give it in a second. But there's a study done at Holland College. It's a small college on the East Coast where the male psychology students decided to test this out. And they praised women on campus wearing blue. You look good in blue. Your eye, you know, brings out the colors in your eyes. And they counted how many women wearing blue, and it skyrocketed. They did with red, and it changed. And so it's something to understand. If you want to look at the scientific term, it's called ingratiation. I don't know if you've heard that before. It's the scientific term for brown-nosing or bootlicking, whatever you want to call it. Now, we don't like the person that ingratiates, but when you look at the business world, those that ingratiate their bosses are rated more competent, more qualified for leadership, more motivated, and get better job evaluations, whether they like it or not. I'm just talking about reality. Because when you can ingratiate, it can be through compliments or being agreeable, recognition, any of those things, it really helps. But a lot of people don't do it, again, because of their own low self-esteem or they don't know how. In fact, when you look at a gradation, for example, that here's some studies that when you want to praise somebody, one good compliment's better than 10 little ones. So less is always more with ingratiation. If you give someone 10 in a row, that's too much. We even saw this with hairdressers, that when one compliment got a great spike in their tips, but the second, third, and fourth one really didn't have much effect. That's important to understand. Ingratiation in the workplace will always work better downward, meaning a coworker, an employee, or if you're their manager. But if you're trying to ingratiate upward, like the boss or the CEO, compliments don't really have little effect. But if you can use apology or self-deprecation, those tend to work very much, much better. So let me give you a formula here, because we've never really been trained on the proper way to do this, and you have to be careful that you do it the right way. Story of a person went to a self-mastery seminar, and they were talking about praise and appreciating those around you, and he realized he didn't praise his wife enough and didn't appreciate his wife enough, so he went and got chocolates and a flower, and, you know, as guys, that's what you do. Came home with these chocolates and a flower. The wife saw him, and she started crying. He's like, whoa, what's up? She says, I had a terrible day. Johnny Jr. got in trouble at school. There's a new ding in the car. We got this big bill, and you come home drunk. So you have to be careful that you use it the right way. And if people, wait, they never praised me before. Now they're praising me every day. So you have to kind of be slow in how you do this and do it the right way. Here's the formula, very, very simple formula. When you do praise somebody, make sure you're praising something positive. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You should understand that one. You don't go to a family reunion and see Uncle Frank and say, oh, good for you, you're still alive. I thought for sure you'd be dead by a heart attack by now. Probably not the best example, but I think you get the picture. And make sure you praise something specific. Hey, good job today. What does that mean? I mean, that's better than nothing. But with people with low self-esteem, if you say, good job today, they're going to refute it. You have to praise something they can't refute. So in the workplace, if you said, hey, what way you handled the Jones case, the way you did this, or, you know, when you tell me that specific story in your presentation, it changed my life. Something they can't refute, something very specific. Make sure it's sincere from your heart. Something positive, something specific, and something sincere. There's a big disconnect in the workplace between management and employees. In fact, there was an article published in USA Today that went through different performance reviews, and they pulled out some of the interesting ones. For example, this employee should go far, and the sooner he starts, the better. Okay, he doesn't have ulcers, but he's a carrier. He brings a lot of joy whenever he leaves the room. Or when his IQ reaches 50, he should sell. Now, these are very derogatory things about coworkers, about employees, because there's always that disconnect. People don't understand esteem and ego. Because everyone wants to be part of the team. Everyone wants respect. Everyone wants approval. Everyone has a need to feel important. We have the need to have respect, approval, and accomplishment. Because deep inside every one of us, we need that. And sometimes this ego of ours can cause us to act illogically or destructively, or can cause us to act nobly or bravely. See, when our ego is starved, we seek for nourishment. And we don't get enough praise. That's why we're so hungry for it. Even in the, you look great in that dress. Even though you know they're getting a commission, it just makes us feel better. So when you feed the hungry ego, it becomes more persuadable. Hunger is universal. We need it every day. Now, here's something really interesting. Let's talk about management, for example. Now, managers always think, well, it's the money, the money, the money. They're just doing it for the money. But when you interview dissatisfied workers and why they were upset with their supervisors, it gets really interesting. Money didn't even make the top seven. Why were they dissatisfied? Here's the list. Here's the top five. Failing to give credit for what they've done. Failing to correct grievances. Failing to encourage them. Failing to criticize them in private, meaning they were criticizing them in front of everybody else. Failing to ask their opinions. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. No, money wasn't mentioned in the top seven. These are all ego and esteem related. And it's important. We need it. We want it. And on the logical side, well, that's trivial. Well, maybe it is, but it doesn't matter. We have to talk about reality here. It doesn't matter if they're the CEO, the president. It doesn't matter if they're a millionaire. They need a boost to their ego. In fact, here's an interesting thing that my study shows, that millionaires are actually easier to persuade than the average person. A lot of people are nervous to talk to millionaires, like successful business people. They're actually easier to persuade because average people are like, oh, what if they persuade me? They might persuade me, and they resist so much more. You hear millionaires all the time. If you're like real estate investors, hey, persuade me. Show me the pros and cons. All right, persuade me on this. Show me what you need to do. And they actually say that. Now, they're harder to get in front of, but they're easier to persuade when you know what you are doing. Because you have to understand this ego and how negative people tend to be. Most of the things we hear are very, very negative. Let's take the school system, for example. So what happened is these school administrators went to different school faculty lounges to just overhear the conversation of teachers. They went to actually 32 schools throughout the whole country, United States. What they found is they were just kind of like, how many positive statements versus negative statements about the students? Well, they were shocked when they tallied up and they added up all the numbers that it was 6% positive to 94% negative. Isn't that amazing when we talk about leadership? We tend to go negative very fast, whether it's children or management or what we do. So when you find yourself in a persuasive situation, it's essential that you seek to enhance their ego in some way. A compliment, praise, acceptance, part of the team. It goes a long, long way. You know, it could be a simple thing. Someone goes down to shipping. Says, oh, you've been working out? Well, yeah, you know, hey. And the next thing you know, you're carrying boxes. So it's something that you need to understand how well it works. And there's a particular set of ego rules that should be employed when dealing with a superior. If you're trying to impress your boss, you should approach it differently than with an employee. It's just a different scenario. And even in job interviews, I've done a lot of consulting with people trying to do job interviews, you know, out of college. And old school was, you know, hey, where do you want to be in 5 years? And they're trained to say, well, I want your job. Really? You think that's a wise thing to say? No, it's not. They're not going to hire you. They might feel the challenge to their ego. You could go into let's say you're a vice president, and you go into the next vice president's office and say, hey, why don't you try this? It's a no-brainer. It's going to save the company money. It's going to do all these things. And you think it's a no-brainer, they're going to resist you. It could be as easy as, well, it wasn't their idea. People will resist that. That's kind of how petty we are sometimes. But you need to understand exactly how this works. Now, on the flip side, maybe sometimes you want to challenge someone's ego, especially with men. Well, I don't know if your department can handle this. I don't know. Are you the decision maker? Tends to challenge people's egos. Because you can back someone in a corner. You can tell someone they're wrong, but they're going to resist you. Here's an example. I was general manager for a company, and I was one of the departments, the first department I had to fix was customer service. So there was someone there that was very negative, condescending, very late, would yell at employees, would even yell at customers. Like, whoa, whoa, we got to fix this. So I brought into my office, I shut the door. I said, no, don't sit there, sit in my chair. She kind of looked at me strange. I said, no, sit in my chair. So she went around my desk, sat in my chair, and I sat where she was supposed to sit. And I said, you know what, I'm new here. You know what's going on better than I do. You know what's going on with yourself. If you were me, how would you fix what's going on here? And she talked about, you know, being on time and changing this and adjusting this and being more friendly. You know what? She came up with everything I would have said. But here's the magic of it. She came up with it. It was her idea. I didn't have to bruise her ego. I didn't have to squash her self-esteem. She came up with it, and it made a huge difference. Because sometimes you could challenge the ego. You see this in football. Football player's late. They make that football player run. But they're always late. They don't care. Change it up. So if the football player's late, you make the whole team run. While the football player's late, doesn't have to run and watches everybody else run. That's a challenge to their ego and probably even their life. You're doing real estate or foreclosure. You have to realize that's an incredible bruise to somebody's ego to deal with those financial hardships. You can back them into a corner, but no, you have to be very careful. So if you say a foreclosure situation, you just come from the bank, the home's going to be foreclosed within 2 weeks, you knock on the door, you're trying to help out, they said, I've taken care of it. And you say, what, are you lying to me? I'm trying to help you out. What, are you stupid? Of course, you're not going to get the results you wanted. You bruised their ego, you backed them into a corner. Or you try, hey, you know, I'm glad you've taken care of it. You know, I've been working with people to help save their homes. But I do know, being in this industry, that the first thing you do doesn't always work out. Here's my business card. I want to be number two. Is that okay with you? You didn't step on any toes, and you'll get a phone call a little bit later. That's the power of ego. That's the power of esteem. And that's true when we get angry. We want to prove ourselves right. Negotiation, influence, doesn't matter what it is. You check your ego in at the door, and you just deal with it. When they ask a stupid question, when they put you on the spot, when they try to make you look bad, it doesn't matter. We are not getting angry. So what do I want you to do? I want you to just put this into action. At least once a day, praise somebody. Use the formula, positive, specific, and sincere. Look for someone to praise that thing that they can't refute and get in the practice of doing it. Get people used to know that you're doing it, and it goes a long way. Again, the cost is it's free, and the returns are incredible. When you talk about the law of esteem, and that's what we focused on today. Now, I got a question, won't this backfire? It could. If you're not sincere, if you've never complimented before, it's possible. But really mean it. Don't let your own ego or low self-esteem get in the way. Focus on them and what you could do for them. It might catch them off guard the first time, but if you make it part of you and who you are, it will make a difference. But bottom line, I want you to understand, you boost someone's self-esteem, the doors of persuasion open. You bruise their self-esteem, you back them into a corner, they're very difficult to persuade. You talk about connecting with people and building trust. The law of esteem is a big, big part of that. Big part of that as far as what you're able to do. So that's what we wanted to do this week. Hope you have a great Halloween. If there's any questions over the phone, let me know. Or you can send them via whypersuasion.com. That's where the recording is going to be. You can post your questions either today or, you know, throughout the week. More than happy to answer those. Got a question here about being acceptance here. I'm trying to figure this question out. Okay. Now, when there's acceptance, when it's part of a team or part of a group, it has to be unconditional. Because it is closely related to praise. Anyone know the difference between the two? Because we all long for acceptance. We want to feel like our actions and our contributions help for an effort or cause. And we see people taking lower incomes because they're part of a team. They're working towards something. They're part of something. They're recognized. Because we all want to be noticed by others. And that's important for you to know, that when people contribute things, just because they get a salary, they still need that recognition. And when people feel accepted unconditionally with no strings attached, their doubts, fears, and inadequacies will go out the window. But be kind, don't patronize, and be genuine in your acceptance. Have it come from your heart that they belong. You're not there to judge them. I mean, you see this with politicians. We've got presidential elections coming up. And you see on television, you got all these people, and they want to touch people and shake hands and look in their eyes. They want to let them know that they appreciate their support or want their support. And we see that all the time. So this personal touch boosts morale so that everyone wants to help out and will not rest until they, you know, that candidate has won victory. So never criticize someone you want to persuade. It damages your relationship. It destroys your connection. Instead, they use praise and appreciation. It's amazing when people go to restaurants and they criticize their waiter that has their food in the back room. And people get angry and upset that airline counters or restaurants, because it works every once in a while, but you get a lot further when you can boost someone's self-esteem. Question here about giving an example of this, boosting someone's self-esteem. Well, let's say I was traveling with a famous personal development speaker. We don't need to name names here. And we were going city to city to city, and we got on a delayed flight, and we got into Orlando, Florida about 2 in the morning. Finally get to our hotel, both really tired. I let them go first to check in, and they said, do you know who I am? And the person checking them in said, no, this whole place was deserted. He said, well, I come to your hotel a lot. You know, I'm a really famous speaker, and we do this and this. I want a free upgrade. And she says, sorry, sir, we don't have any. She says, you better give me an upgrade because of this, this, and this. And she says, sorry, sir, I can't do that. She says, I want to speak to your manager. And she says, I am the manager. It was late at night. And so he went off upset and all disgruntled, and I just kind of paused, and I stood up and tried to hold people skills, and I said, I apologize. Nobody should treat you that way. And she said, you know, it's okay. I'm used to it. Some people are just that way. And we talked, we chatted, we bonded. And she, at the end of the conversation, she says, would you like an upgrade? And it goes a lot further that way, too. And again, sometimes we get angry and upset. Sometimes it works. But in the long run, you want to connect. You want to build trust. You want to persuade. It's much more successful to do it the other way. Because one way to get make people feel accepted is to offer genuine thanks. Don't assume they know we care, appreciate them. Don't assume that the paycheck is enough. And it goes a long way. Gratitude, empathy, all those are very simple and inexpensive ways to get people to like you and boost their self-esteem. Good question. Any other questions? Got one here about the difference between high and low self-esteem. There's some people say pride is low self-esteem. I mean, we got some definitions issues here. But when someone is covering up a low self-esteem, they find security in external things. Like I talked about possessions, degrees, position. You know, a nicer car, I have a better degree, went to a better college, I have a better office, I'm more successful than you are. That's a cover-up. See, people with low self-esteem constantly compare themselves to others and their attempts to feel better about themselves. They love to gossip and pull others down. They're always concerned about who is right versus what is right. Stephen Covey talked a lot about this. He says, you know, the abundance mentality springs from internal security, not from external rankings, comparisons, opinions, possessions, or associations. And so those are very opposite things, high self-esteem and low self-esteem. It's that low self-esteem is usually a red flag because people are trying to cover up their weaknesses, their insecurities, their low opinion of themselves. And we like to admit that's not us, but we all have issues with that. And it's something we can work on. The biggest thing I can talk about here is when even with CEOs and high-level managers who get very little praise because they're expected to be okay and to have high self-esteems and to not need the praise, but they do. And a lot of times they'll cover that up because they're expected to make the get the right decisions and be on top of things and to know everything. And sometimes when they don't, sometimes that triggers in some odd behavior. Good question. Any other questions? The phone, via email. Looks like I got one more here. It says, Kerr, when is it appropriate to challenge somebody's ego? That's a good question because you have to be able to read the person. Some people don't like it. Now, it works better usually for men than women, especially those that are, well, have played a lot of sports who have been challenged that way. It's not something we necessarily use in a negotiation. But if they're, again, a sports-minded person, if they like competition, if they have the personality that always wants to win and to prove that they're right, that's a situation that you can use it. For the most part, you're probably not going to use it in most persuasive situations. But if it's a, you know, a coworker, someone you've done a lot of experience with, a lot of times that can work out very well. It's interesting that if you've heard the name General Oglethorpe, he went to he went to the King of England because he wanted to establish a new colony in the New World. No. And then he had a brilliant idea. He said, "How about if we name the colonies after the king?" And so that's all he needed to do, and he decided to do that, and they were able to populate the new world. We can see this with, give you a lot of examples of how that works in business. Make sure that, I mean, even when a student outshines the masters, that could be a blow to the ego. Be very careful on how you use this. Great question. So the replay line will be posted at whypersuasion.com. Any other questions, you can send them to me there. We're kind of in a Laws of Persuasion series. I got another question on where to find it. Magnetic Persuasion contains the 12 Laws of Persuasion. You can review the Law of Esteem, get some more information on that. But, hey, happy Halloween to everyone. Hope you have some great candy, have some good fun tonight. And we will be here next week with some more information on the Laws of Persuasion. So with that, everyone, go out and persuade with power and go out and make the world a better place. Good night, everyone.
Good night.